This episode of Hot Breath is sponsored by our Patreon. If any of our content has helped your comedy career, join our Patreon linked in the show notes and get positive comedy karma for life. Probably.
I remember when I was at the point of breaking even, and an older comic asked, was checking on me. He said, "How you doing?" I said, "I don't know. I'm starting to break even." And he said, "Good." And I said, "For real?" He said, "Yeah." And I went from breaking even to making money. So you go from losing to breaking even to making money. You pay in the beginning. Comedy costs you.
Oh, for sure.
So you go from it costing you to breaking even to making money. So when I was at the breaking even point, and that encouraged me. I said, "Oh, I'm at, this is a phase."
Hot breath. Okay, hot breath averse. This is it. Hot Breathisode number 170. It is I, of course, your host, comedian Joel Byers. And you know what time it is. Hot Breath. Shout out to all of you that just did that with me. You are the true Hot Brethren and Sistren. Welcome, everyone else, to Hot Breath Podcast, your weekly guide to comedy mastery. This is what time it is, all right? My guest today, he was first on the podcast way back, Hot Breathisode number 3. I interviewed him right after he appeared on Last Comic Standing. This was back in 2015, so it's crazy to think how far we've come. Episode 3, now he's episode 170. This is a cat that we've been talking about doing another episode with. We've done shows together, and we're like, "Oh, we gotta do another one." And he actually approached me and was like, "Yo, man, I want to do another Hot Breath and just break down the business to your listeners." Because he had mentioned all like the feedback he'd gotten from his first interview way back when. So if you found this one educational and informational, reach out to him on social media. Be like, "That episode was amazing. Thank you so much for all the info," and feel free to ask him questions. This is a comic. This is a, what we call in the game, a road dog. This guy is 15 years in the game, has been hitting the road hard pretty much since he started comedy. He's been on the fast track in terms of just getting a lot of stage time early on. Like, a year in, he was already featuring. So for anyone that's a year in and you're like, "Oh, I have to do 25, 30 minutes? Like, even now, me 9 years in, sometimes I'm like, "All right, let's see how this is going to go." So even speaking of featuring, I was actually featuring for him at a Comedy Zone gig up in Lexington, South Carolina at a Moonshiners. And I did about 35 minutes. He went up there, did about an hour, gave him a great show. Amazing show up there in Lexington. Seriously, like, you never know what you're going to get with comedy shows, especially in not comedy club settings. This was a great show, very well run. So grateful to be working for the Comedy Zone as well. They have so many shows all over the country. And my guest today has been working with them for many years. And you're getting a nice little insight, not only into life on the road, but it's just a raw interview. It's tradition with headliners and features that the headliner takes the feature out for a meal after the show. This has happened with several feature sets I've done with headlining comedians at various clubs and such. So what you're getting is a raw talk. It's not even really an interview. I just wanted to talk shop with him about the road and business and selling merch and just the game overall. So you're hearing audio from my iPhone as we are at a Waffle House in Lexington, South Carolina. So I do know the audio isn't up to the quality that we expect here at the Hot Breathiverse. And I usually, you know, like that attention to detail. But hey, this was a run and gun moment. We're up in South Carolina. We're doing a road gig. It's late. It's Waffle House. We don't need fancy mics in a Waffle House. It's just straight raw audio. So the audio quality might not be as what you're expected and used to here on Hot Breath, but the content is. He shares so many gems that I hope you listen to, take note of, and apply to yourself. So this is a perfect episode for anyone looking to start selling merch or getting booked on the road, or just the do's and don'ts and mistakes and just, man, it's just a dope talk with two comics out on the road. So enjoy yourselves. If you enjoy it, reach out to Drew on social media. Let him know how much you enjoyed his Hot Breath interview. And let's get into it. So now, there's only one thing left to do. And that is inhale a hot breath with Drew Thomas.
That was interesting. So I've got to get some road game from you while we're here.
Alright.
That's why we're recording pretty much from both angles, and we'll just see what picks up. But
what's going on, peeps? We're in the Waffle House. We just rocked Moonshiner's Patio Bar and Grill. Bar show. It was awesome, though.
It was dope. It was so dope. And this will be where most of the audio is coming from.
Once a month show, and people were in there.
Lexington, South Carolina.
About Moonshiner. 20 minutes from Columbia.
And right when you walked in, you were like still in a bar. And you're 15
still in
the years
bar.
In. But I didn't know you started comedy when you were 31.
Yep.
So, you like had a life, and then now you're living your second life.
Second life.
But the first time you did this, you did the podcast, you were like number three, I think it was, back when you were on Last Comic Standing.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about how you've been to like 47 states?
45.
45 states. So, if there's anyone to ask about the road, you're the guy. You're the guy to ask about the road.
I've been on the road. I've been in quite a few hotels.
So, is there, to start it off, is there a road story that stands out to you that you always, like, you'll just, kind of like how you said you tied for shots?
Tied for shots with Mo Alexander in Fort Walton Beach, Howl at the Moon.
Is that a Comedy Zone gig?
The Comedy Zone.
I did that one.
They used to do comedy on Sundays there. It's changed, the venues have changed now, but.
That's the honky tonk place, right?
Military town, yeah. So. A lot of military people from all the branches, and it's a tradition at this gig to send shots to the stage to the comedians. So I'm like, okay. So it started out with a couple shots, and I'm like, all right. So the shots kept coming, and next thing you know, people start sending French fries to the stage because you need fries to soak up the shots. Dude, next thing I know, I'm at 14 shots of Jaeger within a 45-minute set.
Jaeger too.
A lot of shots. The next day was rough. I think I left out of town about 4 o'clock before I was able to gather myself to.
How'd that set go though?
Set was fire. It was the next day. I'm a next day terrible drunk.
Oh, okay.
Never that night.
What? Like, one thing we were talking about after the show was like the merch game. Because these road gigs don't really pay well. So merch is a great way to kind of supplement some income.
You gotta supplement. Merch is your lunch money, your gas, your phone. You gotta have quality merch too. You gotta think about yourself as a little clothing boutique. So you could go with the cheapest t-shirt and maximize your profit and go, oh, I'm here to make the most amount of money. Or think of yourself shopping. What kind of t-shirt would you buy? Would you buy a good quality t-shirt? Oh, this t-shirt is $20. That's a nice t-shirt. It's soft. I'm going to go with that. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, think about that. You could get the $2 shirt or get the $3 shirt and get a nicer shirt.
What's your strategy, though, with even, like, the type of merch you sell or, like...
I don't like merch, personally. So, I see guys on the road, they come with t-shirts and all these little bumper stickers. I'm like, is that something I would buy? No worries.
Thank you.
I probably wouldn't buy it. So for me, I had to think of stuff that stand alone if I don't remember this guy's joke or if I don't remember the set.
Uh-huh.
A towel that says don't get it in your eye has nothing to do with me.
Interesting. So that sell anywhere.
That's going
to
sell anywhere.
Gotcha.
If whatever you get in your eye, you're going to need a towel to wipe it out your eye. I don't care if it's hot strawberry jelly.
Yeah, you're an interesting one where I've seen you have like tiers. You have like a t-shirt, then you have a towel, then you have like wristbands. You kind of have one for the whole.
So you gotta have a price point for everybody. There's some people who only have $5 to spend with you, so you gotta have a $5 item. Some people have $10 they wanna support you, so they get the $10 item, and you have a $20 item. Then it's simple marketing. By you having different items, three items, four items, it gives the people a choice. So now people say to themselves, how much is your t-shirt? $20. Well, I don't have $20, so give me something for $10.
Mm-hmm.
But it engages them to come over. Then if you have something small like a bumper sticker or a wristband, you can give it away. You can sell it. It doesn't matter. You're going to make your money either way, but it's your business. It's a business card. Everybody
like
has a wristband.
Card.
So the wristband, the wristband has your social media on there or your website.
Uh-huh.
So they go, what was his name? Drew Thomas. How can I find him? DrewThomasComedy.com. It's there. They're going to take a business card and use it as a toothpick.
Mm-hmm.
But they're going to wear a band.
How important is like the setup, like how you organize your, like do you have your shirt set up a certain way and like just make it neat,
just kind of put it out, make it neat and approachable, make it look nice, don't just junk up the table,
right?
You know, spread the things out so people can say, oh, what I need to add is ticket price tags, so people see the numbers, psychological. It's like the carnival. When you go and you go, what can I get for the amount of points I have? And you go, oh, you can get this or this.
Oh.
So if they see $5, they see a $10 mark, they see a $20 mark, now they start to say to themselves, what can I get? Can I get two $5 items? I can get a 10 and a 5. I can get a 20.
Smart.
You start seeing people ask their friends for money to cover what is it. Oh, you got $25? That'll get the shirt and the band.
Yeah. And yours are tied to a joke. Like, you have, like, material around your merch.
Right, but I don't have to necessarily do the joke to sell the merch. Because if you get stuck with that, now you're like,
yeah,
I didn't sell any shirts because I forgot to do the bit. But, like, the don't get comfortable is an overall message. It's
right.
I don't have a don't get comfortable bit.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
So it gets you away from being stuck to a bit. Because if you have to do a bit to sell a piece of merch, you're never gonna drop this bit.
Yeah, I'm kind of stuck. I have a trophy husband. It's all super new though. Like I'm just now working it out. They put blueberries in your wallet
and pecan.
Won't he do it? Let him use it.
You the only one got blueberries because the blueberries was in November.
Blueberries.
Nobody has them anymore.
I didn't think they could do that.
They do. It's temporary up in Waco.
It's temporary.
They only have it for 1 month. But I always ask for some people.
You're smart.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Everything is fantastic. Can I trade you this for a strawberry?
Yes.
This guy is a pro. This guy's a road pro here. He knows all the Waffle House tricks.
I've been to plenty Waffle House.
He knows all the Waffle House tricks.
Plenty comics. And over the years, you know how you like your breakfast.
Yeah, I put a little Coke in it.
Yeah, at midnight.
Get on the road, comics. You get Waffle House with the headliner after your show.
Hey, we made it. I feel like I'm christened now. I'm a road dog.
It's a tradition. Comedy traditions. We keep them traditions alive. Somebody did it to me, so you continue it.
Yeah.
Remember, a headliner took me to breakfast. He said, I guess I'm supposed to buy you a meal. And we did breakfast, and he goes, I hope I never see you again.
Who was it?
What the guy? Jeff Brennan.
Jeff Brennan.
He was a rough Michigan guy. Rough night for Jeff Brennan.
Oh, at the show?
Then we work together again because the Comedy Zone don't care who they put together. No matter, even if headliners go, I never want to work with that guy again. They're like, whatever. So I see him again like a year later and I get off the stage. I'm featuring for him again. I get off stage and he goes, just remember why I hate you.
Oh, he has to follow you. Oh, yeah. A lot of comics hear about the Comedy Zone. But, like, how did you get in with them and all that?
A lot of the headliners vouched for me at the time when I was trying to get in. Paul Hooper. mm-hmm. Kerry White, Matt Davis, Sean Jones. A lot of dudes I had worked with was like, hey man, you need to book this guy.
So they started you out at feature?
Started me out Midland. Middle for them for 2 years. Straight.
Consistently?
Consistently.
Wow.
I mean, one time I was on the road somewhere every weekend for 90 days.
Whoa. In a row?
In a row.
What does that kind of experience teach you in the comedy game?
That's the only way to save money as a middle. Is to work that consistently.
Mm-hmm.
It took them 90 days to save up $1,000.
Middling?
Mm-hmm.
90 days, $1,000? God bless. So that's why merch is important, I guess.
Merch is important. Plus, merch is branding. People look at merch as it's supplement to my pay, or you make this money off merch, but you don't. Merch is not really about money. Huh. Yes, it can be, but it's about branding. Merch is really about somebody taking a little piece of you home with them. So whether it's a CD or a t-shirt or a band or a hat, whatever it is, you got somebody to buy a piece of you. They bought into what you were selling on stage.
Mm-hmm. So, a good tip for comics is to not create a merch around a bit.
No.
Create the merch around you.
Create the merch around your comedy and around you.
I'm glad I just ordered these Trophy Husband shirts. I literally just...
So now you have to do the bit till those shirts are gone.
But it's almost like... I mean, it's part of my act anyway.
Right.
So like...
But when it's not part of your act...
Is there a contest?
You're gonna need another shirt.
You're right. We'll see, these are lessons learned along the way.
Mm-hmm. I used my very first t-shirt said got asthma. Tell you got this bit about sleeping with women that have asthma.
Oh, right.
I rarely do the bit anymore. Every now and then I'll throw the bit in. I don't want to be stuck with that shirt that says got asthma. So you shouldn't fall in love with any one item. It should always be evolving as your comedy evolves. Then the merch changes. It could be the same items, but what's on them can change. The t-shirt can change. The slogan can change. Whatever the...
What's the craziest piece of merch you've seen?
Bobbleheads.
Bobble? That'd be hard to travel with.
Dumbest merch ever. They give them away to famous people. Who wants to buy a comics bobblehead? You can get a Joe Montana bobblehead on Joe Montana night at a 49ers game.
Right.
All you got to do is want to be the first 3,000 people.
Did they sell? Early.
No, they didn't sell. The guy ended up, he had a bunch of them, and he ended up mailing them to clubs with his intro kit. And he got a couple gigs of it because it would be on the person's desk. So when you call it to follow up, they're like, oh, I'm looking at your bobblehead right now.
Hilarious. I think the craziest I saw was Tom Dustin. We were working at Bonkers together when there was one in Atlanta. He sold these flaming wallets.
A flaming wallet?
Like, he had a magician friend who would hook him up with these wallets.
Right.
To where, like, there's, like, a strike inside. When you open it, you can strike, and it has, like, a lighter that'll light up when you open it.
One time?
Yeah. Like, it as many times you strike it, it'll flame up. But, like, he literally, it had nothing to do with his act. At the end of his act, he was like, oh, and by the way, I'm selling these after the show. And he just showed them how it worked.
And it sold.
Sold. And the margin on it, dude, like, he would, like, double. No, they were like, they cost a bit, like 15 or 20, but he sold them for 50 and sold, like all of them were selling. And I'm just like, this has nothing to do
nothing
with anything.
To do with, yeah.
But.
And that's what you want.
Yeah, it's just something cool. Maybe you should just sell what people need. I'm just going to start selling groceries. I'm just going to go up there with like almond milk.
Look, those things that's eggs. On the back of phones, I think that's a good item.
Oh, the poppets?
Everybody have a poppet. Mm-hmm. Put JoeBuyers.com on there. you know, see it all the time. It's all about people consistently seeing your name. In comedy, they learn your voice first.
Okay.
Then they learn your face. They learn your name last. So we have to consistently tell them our names.
Right.
You tell them your name 6 times in your act. You get off stage and go, what's your name again?
Uh-huh.
Motherfucker, I started 4 jokes with Joe Thomas.
That's smart.
So you have to consistently remind them of your name until it gets to where they know your name. Because in comedy you go, the guy, what guy? The guy, the voice, you know it, you know the guy. When I hear him, I know him. Then you move into him.
Mm-hmm.
You know him. He was on that commercial and he was on this and he was on that. What's his name? I don't know his name.
Mm-hmm.
And then they know your name. They know your name last. Wow. Your name is told when you're introduced. You say your name. You get on stage, they go give it up for your name. Last thing they learn is your name.
So why not brand your name?
Brand yourself and your name and your likeness and whatever.
Put your name on there. Because I did notice on your merch, and mine also, mine has my website on it. Yours has your website or like mm-hmm. that.
Well, yeah, or has your Instagram, social media. Which everything is pointed to my site, so.
Mm-hmm.
I just pointed Drew Thomas Comedy to the site just for that. Because you tell people your site, I say, come see Drew. Come see Drew.com.
Right.
They're going to walk out and go, what was his website? And by default, they'll type in Joel Byers Comedy. So you should, everybody should own that domain for their name.
Yes.
If you're not owning multiple domains, what are you doing?
Yes.
I don't care if you're ready to use it today.
Buy it. Yeah.
Lock it in.
Yep. I've got Joel Byers and Joel Byers Comedy.
I got Drew Thomas Comedy, comedian Drew Thomas. Come see Drew, come see Andrew. Because you can't dictate what people remember. People walk off, they just talk to you, go, look me up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Drew Thomas Comedy. And they get in the car and they go, Drew Hendrickson. I couldn't find the comedian guy, but I found this jazz player. That's going to be on our cruise.
I mean, a lot of comics think social media is the game now. Is a website still like super important and relevant?
It's still important.
You'll still book through
it's
there.
It's still important because people on a very professional level is not going to your Instagram to book you from your Instagram.
Right.
Mm-hmm. If you're dealing with networks, you're dealing with television, they're going to find you through your IMDb, your Actors Access. They're going to go to your website, message through your website, find your management.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying it's this or that, but it can't be Instagram only. Now, yeah, there's a promoter in St. Louis that saw your clips and found your Instagram and reached out to your DM like, yo, you available the 16th? I'll pay this. Yeah. You should be available on all platforms to do business.
Mm-hmm.
But to say, no, I don't need a website, that's old school, you're wrong.
Yeah, and when it's a network hitting you up or a corporation, like Coca-Cola's hitting you up on your website.
Right.
But Joe Schmo may be like, hey, come travel 6 hours for $100.
Yeah.
When?
More, but those type of shows will find you on your Instagram.
Yeah. When did you hit, because I just did a show recently where I traveled for $150 and I was just like, man, I don't know.
How far did you travel?
You have
to have a cutoff. Or where you're willing to go for $150.
Yeah, how did you find out when, like, how'd you find that number for yourself?
That's easy. Like, if it's past 4 or 5 hours drive,
mm-hmm.
it ain't worth it.
What
if it's past a tank of gas,
okay,
going and coming, it's not worth it. Tank of gas in your car is $40.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if the gig is 80 to go and come and the gig pays 150, you coming home at $70
and the wear and tear on your car
You still had to do the show and travel and be away from your home.
How important, though, is the stage time? So
the stage time is important.
I mean, finding that balance between...
It's a balance in the beginning because you got to go... You know, for me in the beginning, the Comedy Zone was huge because I got to do my set 5 to 7 times on a weekend, 30 minutes, where people was in town doing guest spots.
Mm-hmm.
How you going to develop as a guest spot? It's not your show. Everything is good.
Great, thank you.
You did, so mm-hmm. I'm going to hold up my end.
Girl. Yeah, that's the point. Yeah, I'm at where I need the stage time, but I would like to be, you know, compensated. But this game, it seems like...
Well, you gotta decide if it's about stage time, then it's about that. And you gotta be okay with that. If you're going in for the money, then get your money. But if you say, I need to put this time in, and I got these gigs right here that allows me to do 30 minutes consistently to stretch my legs, then it's about that.
Yeah.
And it's not about what you got paid to do it. If you're going to make it about what you get paid to do it, then you're getting away from getting better or the training. So you got to go forget the money. When I was featuring for them years, it wasn't about the money. It was just about surviving.
Yeah.
Because I could never look at it as I was making a living as a feature. It's hard to make a living as a feature.
I'm learning.
It's very, very hard. You gotta have a lot of support. I mean, come on, you're talking on average $400 a week. That's less than a decent wage if you worked at a warehouse or I had a bad job.
But that stage time is so valuable.
Stage time is invaluable stage time. I mean,
yeah.
I came off from those guys after 2-3 years and it was like I didn't even realize how much time I had put in till I came and would do shows with the Atlanta people. And then you realize the night and day between your reps and theirs.
Woo!
You know, because they're like, damn, well, because you never left town and I've been on the road for 2 years doing 30 minutes 5 to 7 times a week. Like, you did 30 minutes tonight.
Yeah.
Most comics... Midland didn't work tonight. If their week started at a comedy club, they worked tonight. If not, they didn't work tonight. So you got 30 minutes in tonight that another guy didn't get.
Yeah.
He starts tomorrow, and you already got a set in. And that, you can't put no money on that.
Especially when you start to get into those longer sets, and you're out on the tightrope then. When you get out there at that time...
Starting to stretch your legs, you're starting to.
Uh-huh.
It's not a guest set, it's not 7 minutes, it's not, you know what I mean?
That's what I've heard.
You gotta pace yourself when you're doing 30 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
You start to learn pacing because mm-hmm. you start to realize you can't just jump out there
mm-hmm.
and go fast. You run out of steam. You gotta keep in mind what your position is on the show. I'm setting somebody else up. This is not my show. So you got to keep that in mind. A lot of cats get away from that. And they think, oh, I'm the first headliner. Well, you kind of think that in your head in terms of stroking your own ego. But it's not your show. You're here in a supporting role.
Yep. I did learn that tonight. Well, I learned. I was like, oh, that was a good set. And then I heard your laughs. And I was like, oh, his laughs are different than mine. His laughs have more depth to it. Which is that's the game, that's the road, that's the experience.
It's the experience.
That it's just, I guess, tough. You can get ahead of yourself and like start to focus on the wrong thing at the wrong time.
On the wrong thing.
But maybe instead of focusing on money, it's like focus on time. Don't be stingy with the money, but be stingy with like time. Like, yeah, I'll go there for 30 minutes.
Right.
Not much. I won't go there for 10 minutes. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And be strategic. Because it has to benefit you. So you got to go, why am I going? If I go to this place, if I go to Cat's Cafe, am I going to get the $100? Or am I going to work out this segue into this new bit?
Mm-hmm.
And I want that to transition so smooth from this previous bit because I'm putting this new part in. So it's muscle memory.
Yeah.
When you get on stage, you don't remember. It's like you can get on stage and leave out a word one night. And from that show to the next show till you catch yourself, you've left out 3-4 minutes of your set. Because that one night you forgot that one word.
Mm-hmm.
Till you realize, oh, I haven't been saying Shackleberry, and Shackleberry triggers this next 3 minutes.
Right.
So, when, especially when something is new, and you go, I've been doing this joke this way, but now I've added this new bit in between joke A and B. It's now joke A, C, then B.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you gotta hear that. You gotta hear that a couple times to go, my transition now, I say this word, which goes to that one joke, which goes to the next joke, where it wasn't like that before. So that has to become muscle memory. You got to do that several times to remember when that part comes. And I say then leads to that,
mm-hmm.
which leads to that sentence. So is that about money when you're working on that?
No, it's the craft.
No, it's the craft. It's about getting that right, because there might be a gig coming up in 6 months.
Yeah.
Where that's going to be important now, because now they're paying and nobody wants to pay you for you to practice.
I think that's important. Like,
a lot of guys have that twisted.
Mm.
I'm not paying you to practice.
Nobody
you practice
wants
on Tuesday.
To pay you to practice.
No, I'm not paying you to practice.
Ooh.
You practice on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday on your own time. Mm. Come Thursday, it's professional time. And a lot of people can't separate. They go, man, that joke hit Monday. Yeah, Monday was your friends.
Mm-hmm.
And open mic is a very encouraging to each other. To the point of ridiculousness. They get up there and go, that was good. It was not good. Stop telling this guy that.
I think that's a good thing, though, for open micers, or people that go to an open mic at any level. You know, I mean, headliners still do open mic.
Yeah, open micers are good.
So, I think that's a good thing, like you mentioned, to have a goal when you're going to this show. So don't, like, I'm just gonna go to this open mic and see what happens. Like, go with...
People do that.
Most people do. Go with an intentional...
I'm going for the acceptance of the other comics, or I'm going...
Social...
That's where we hang out, and that's where it was. And you're like, no, you have to make it about something. You have to make it. I got this new bit. But this new bit, where I place it, is new to my mouth. It's new to my tongue. It's new to my memory. So now I have to practice so I remember that bit, because that bit sets up this other bit later on. So I'm coming just to work on that.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all coming to hang out and get props and have everybody tell you were great tonight. What does that get you?
But you did mention a lot of your getting into the Comedy Zone, a lot of that was from referrals. Mm-hmm. So your networking seems to be an important piece of it as well.
And that's just letting your work speak for itself. Right?
You gotta be funny first.
You gotta be funny first. Let your friends say, I'm willing to vouch for you, or tell, you know, people ask, take me here with you, why? What have you done for me to take you? You don't think I know other comics?
Yeah.
If I just met this comic tonight and you go, man, if you ever need somebody on the road, let me know. I've been doing this 15 years. I know plenty of people to call before I call you.
Yeah.
So why? What's so special about you? So don't impress me.
Mm-hmm.
Find your audience and impress them. It's 300 million people in America. You only need 1 million people to like what you do. And if 1 million people give you $10 each a year, you've made $10 million. So stop trying to get everybody to like you. Mm. Everybody's not going to like you. Find who likes you and then sell them something.
But in comedy, people like funny people. So a lot of people get it twisted to where, yeah, they are like, yo, take me on the road. And you're like, do you even have the time?
Like, you have the time.
You know what I mean?
How are you on the road? Do you behave yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Do you steal shit out of hotels? Are you going to embarrass me?
Mm-hmm.
It's not just funny.
Yep.
It's home training. Am I going to have to go back to every hotel we go and apologize for you? Ma'am, I'm sorry. We stole the pillows.
Then also the booker. So like, if you bring someone on the road and they end up like going off on an audience member, I mean, everything reflects back on you. You know? So like, you put me, so I like, all the Comedy Zone gigs I've gotten, now that you mention it, have been
referrals as well. So,
and that's how it works.
Yeah.
When I say to them, hey, I want to take Joel with me for this gig, first thing he said was, cool, I have his info.
Boom.
So you already cleared with the booker. Somebody already had you with them and said, hey, he's cool. And that's how you get more work, as opposed to, hey, I want to take this person with me. You got somebody else, because such and such had him in this place, and he went off on this, you know what I mean? He did something crazy, and they didn't like him. Okay.
So you can always, how do you stay, like, when you walk into a bar and you're like, 15 years in, I'm still in a bar, you know, like, where is that mentality, and how do you overcome it? Or like, it's like 15 years
you
in.
You just have to grab yourself together and go, this is the gig.
This is where I'm at right now.
This is the gig. So you're going to dial it in, or are you still going to, you still have to put your brand forward. So if I agree to the gig and I come, then I have to do to the best of my ability. Mm-hmm. Now the other things I can't control, if the people don't police the room, or the people didn't come for comedy, or there's other distractions going on. But I still have to put out what I can to put out. Because just at the end of the day, they're going to go, he was this and he was that. But nobody says, I ruined his show.
Uh-huh.
I've never heard that. Mm-hmm. Never heard them go, how did Drew Thomas go? Well, you know, me and my friends were talking, and we got kind of loud, and we really didn't hear him. So I don't really know if he's funny or not. Nobody has ever said that. You go, how was such and such? It was okay. I mean, we didn't really hear much. He was all right, because you were talking.
But you've seen it from, we talked about in the first interview, like you opening for Rodney Carrington and all that jazz. And like, so you've seen comedy at the highest level, and then all the way down to like doing these bar gigs, which I'm not by any means denouncing these bar gigs. I love them.
They're good bar gigs.
They're good gigs. But when you like, nobody's shooting a comedy special in like a bar gig, you know what I mean? So like,
y'all okay?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
How was everything?
Delicious, yeah, thank you.
Bar gigs are the trenches.
Yeah.
You know, but there's some of these venues I'm starting to notice that do music and bands, they make good comedy venues. They got good sound.
Mm-hmm.
They got a stage. All you need is people. If you got sound and a stage, you can do comedy anywhere. If you got people that's willing to sit and listen to it.
Well, when you started comedy at 31, while you were selling cars, where did you think you were going to be in 15 years?
I never gave it any thought.
You never planned that far ahead?
I never planned that far ahead. I just knew I wanted to do comedy.
Okay.
I knew it was something inside I wanted to do, and I knew it was something I had to give a shot before I got old. Mm-hmm. But as far as where I saw it taking me or what it was going to do for me, I gave that no thought. It was like, if I could make a living at this, that would be nice.
Yeah.
But I gotta give this stand-up thing a try. But I never projected anything like, I need to make this amount, or I want this from comedy. You know, I never thought of that stuff.
How long did it take you to go full-time?
Full-time in terms of efforts, I would say from the beginning. Full-time as being a paid comedian.
Right, like you don't have any...
4 years.
4 years.
It took 4 years.
Did you save up money to take the leap, or like...
No, I lived at home.
You lived at home?
I'm lucky.
In your 30s?
I'm Jamaican. Jamaican parents don't put you out. If I was American, I'd have been homeless. Cultural thing. White people don't put their kids out, and Caribbean people don't put their kids out. Black people are the only ones like, motherfucker, you 18. You going to college or the army, or you going to jail, but you ain't going to be in my house. So, and people not ready. You're putting out 18-year-olds into the street that's not ready for life.
True.
You did not prepare them for life. You didn't teach them about credit. You ain't teach them about saving. You ain't teach them about putting a budget.
Mm-hmm.
So how are these people supposed to cope and make it? So they end up spiraling and odd end jobs, and you never really become a full functional adult.
How would a comic know when they're ready Because, like, for me, I saved up, like, a nest egg before I jumped head
That's
first.
That's good. You was ahead of the game than most people.
But some people just jump right in, I guess.
Some people jump in. It's different for everybody. Some people feel a need to survive. You know, it's different for every person what the trigger is. For some people, it's a survival mechanism. If I don't do this, I'm going to die. For other people, it's a job option.
Yeah.
I was either going to do law, or I looked at comedy and I said I would give that a shot. And some people have made it. But the difference of what brings you to it is different across the board.
And you got to know what you're willing, what are you willing to put up with? So, like, I took the leap, but I'm living in a studio apartment in the hood, like pre-gentrification Atlanta hood.
And you want that, because once it's gentrified, you can't afford to stay.
Exactly. But, like, that's why I lived there, so I made sacrifices in that sense. So, just make sure you're...
thing about comedy is it's selfish.
Yeah.
We make sacrifices, and then we want to put it on other people and go... hey, you should appreciate my sacrifice.
Right.
But it's our sacrifice. You wanted to tell jokes to people as opposed to being an actuary scientist or an IT person or whatever it is. Something inside of us makes us want to be on stage making perfect strangers laugh.
Yeah.
Are we flawed? Maybe. I'm not an expert on the full psychology of it, but it's not on other people. Like, I've heard people go, recently I was having a conversation and this comic posted, I made a lot of sacrifices for comedy and y'all should appreciate me. That's your sacrifices.
Your fault.
It's not mine.
Right. Yeah, you did it. Voluntarily.
Right.
Nobody forced you to...
You have this need to make total strangers laugh.
Mm-hmm. So you just need to be willing to do it by any means necessary.
Willing to be doing it by any means necessary. It's not on me, the public, to go, oh, I should feel bad because this dude tried stand-up.
And that could be an early mindset. Like, what are... When you look at younger comics, like, what are some common mistakes? Or when you were a younger comic, what were common mistakes you think?
Listening to yourself. A lot of new comics listen to each other. Like I was saying earlier, they get off stage and I watch, because I still go to open mics. They get off stage, there's a lot of praising going on. But you have to listen to yourself once you start to learn your voice on stage and go, where is the funny? Is this bit complete? Is there more? Is there something I'm not exploring in this bit? Am I only looking at it from one point of view? Sometimes, like some of your stuff, the funny is in the fact that as a white guy, you allow the audience to think of something a different way. So even you have white people going, oh, there's shades of this. There's levels to this white thing. So sometimes white people don't even think about that. You're born into money. Some people born into money. So you got trust fund white people. They got long money, way back to Prohibition. You got some white people born poor. They worked for everything. Worked hard, summer job, went to school, worked and went to school, ran a Pizza Hut, whatever it was, and then they're rich too, but they work for it. When you talk to those two white people, those are two different white people.
For sure.
So even within white people, as you as a white comic, you bring that to their attention to where they go, I never thought of that. I've always had money.
Mm-hmm.
I had a Ford Ranger when I was 18. As opposed to this other dude going, I bought my first Ford Ranger when I was 30 because I had to work for it and save up.
So always have a point of view.
You gotta have a point of view.
Your point of view.
If you don't have no point of view, ain't nobody gonna listen to you in comedy. But other than that, everybody sounds the same. So what's your point of view? If you go to the next level, that's the first thing they ask. It's a term in when you get to agents and managers and upper level of comedy. What's his POV?
Oh.
You don't have a point of view, then you sound like everybody else.
That's gold. Any other advice for comics before we end this?
Don't quit.
Don't quit.
Don't quit and work on your support team and be be true to yourself. If you're not getting better at it, then what are you doing? I mean, even we both from Atlanta. There's people I watch from the sidelines. I don't say much. I don't pull people to the side and go, hey, here's a tip on your set or whatever. But I go around to the spots, and there's people I've seen 2 years, 3 years gone by, 4 years gone by. They're not getting any better. What are you doing? Are you listening to yourself? You just like the comedy scene? Mm-hmm. You like the fact that you're one of the comics, so you know all the comics? So you get in on the blunt, you get in on the joint, you get in on the vape pen because you're accepted. You're like, oh, that's such and such. He's one of the comics. But are you trying? Mm-hmm. Are you getting better? You see yourself progressing? Are you getting closer to getting paid? Are you even booked in town? That's a starting spot. Nobody books you where you're from. No more. Why am I booking you to travel then? They don't book you where you live.
Mm-hmm. Don't quit. So that's good. That's good closing advice from an OG in the game. Don't quit. Comics were sitting here like midnight after a road gig here, and I think that's the big synopsis of this. Just don't quit. Stay consistent.
If you get a road gig, you get Waffle House. The headliner buy you Waffle House.
Hey, so we made it. Thanks.
That's something to work towards.
Yeah, get that Waffle House money. All right, we're quitting this.
Somebody's sitting there listening going, ain't nobody ever took me to Waffle House.
That's when you'll know you made it.
Give you something to work towards. There you go, young comic. Work towards your free meal at Waffle House.
All right. Good talk. We did it. We talked about doing this. We're like, we need to do another one. You want to do one all about business.
Because you know what? After you said that, people started reaching out to me about that. Like, I just ask you questions about the business. It's like, I've been kind of like watching you from the side. And it's like, one thing you can't deny, whether you don't think I'm the funniest or I'm not your favorite, you got to respect the business. Mm-hmm. So even if you're a sideline guy, you got to go, this dude's been doing it. He's been to this place, he's all over, he's always working. So it makes people go, tell me what you know.
Yeah.
I've never left Atlanta. What am I doing wrong? Some of it is the circles you're in. What you want out of comedy, are you working really? Are you really working at it?
Or working towards something.
Some people are not working at it.
Yeah.
They have full-time jobs that make it hard. So you come out once a week, you do okay, you killed for 5 minutes. Then we don't see you for 6 weeks. Because you're cool with the high from the one time that you did well. Then get out of the way then.
That is, you mentioned like your network being important. So maybe you're not getting booked because you're not surrounded by other comedians that are getting booked.
If you want to work, you need to be around working comedians. If you're around open micers, you're going to do open mic.
Ooh.
So.
Game.
That's what it is right there.
Yeah.
I try to only talk to working comedians. A working comedian, where you just came from. Can I go there next week? A comedian can't be somewhere every week.
Right.
So if I'm somewhere next week, that means somebody else needs to be there next week.
Good stuff. Yeah, that business game is something I'm trying to figure out now. For like, yeah, I mean, I've been doing it 9 years, and I'm like, man, I should really be making money at this. But I'm just now even starting to get these longer sets, too.
Then that's good. So that means like, that on your timeline, you're making progress. Whenever you can say, I moved to something else, you're making progress. I remember when I was at the point of breaking even, uh-huh. and an older comic was checking on me. He said, how you doing? I said, I don't know. I'm starting to break even. And he said, good. And I said, for real? He said, yeah. And I went from breaking even to making money. So you go from losing to breaking even to making money. You pay in the beginning. Comedy costs you.
Oh, for sure.
So you go from it costing you to breaking even to making money. So when I was at the breaking even point, I'm like, what's going on? I'm not losing anymore, but now I'm just breaking even. And they were like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
And that encouraged me. I said, oh, this is a phase. I didn't even know I had moved on to another phase. And I'm like, should I quit? I'm like, what's going on? I'm breaking even. This shit has to, something got to give. And dude said, you good.
Great perspective.
You go from breaking even to making money. And I hung in it till I went from breaking even to making money.
And then the money will just incrementally.
It's like when somebody always say something, like, when you get good, they'll come get you and pay you. And you go, what the fuck does that mean? It's true, though.
Uh-huh.
Get good. Everybody's worried about being paid. I was talking to another comic the other day. They said they were talking to some new comic. The girl's been doing comedy 2 years. And their question was when they start getting paid. You're in the wrong job, yo. There's no ad in the paper for this. There's no timeline of getting paid. You can get paid a year in and you pop off. It could be 20 years before you get paid. So if you're asking about when am I going to get paid, This ain't the game.
Yeah.
Because how good are you in 2 years?
Yeah.
Who's paying you in 2 years? 2 years, you should be like, yo, my 15 is tight. I got this 10. That's all you got in 2 years?
Yeah, maybe, though.
Maybe.
And in another 2 years, that 10 ain't going to be...
It ain't good no more.
The 10 you stood on. Yeah.
And you talking about when I'm going to get paid.
Perspective. This is comedy perspective for the comics.
When
POV.
When you're 15, get good. You're 15 and it was good yet, and you don't get paid.
Don't ask to go on the road till you have road time.
That's true shit.
Ooh. All right, check.
No, we got it. It's right here.
Waffle House.
All right, Hot Breathisode. I hope this episode empowers you to get out there and take your career into your own hands, but also being patient along the way. So you've heard in various episodes, even the most recent one I did with Rodney Perry last week, that I was talking about the business and how do I get business and money. But comedy is still a process at every level. So I loved Drew's perspective on hitting every tier step by step. So at first you're losing money in comedy, then you're breaking even, then you're making a little money, and then more and more and more. I think that is such a healthy and realistic mindset to have in this game. So if you found that helpful, great. I would love to know what your favorite moment of this was, you know, besides the All-Star, of course. Nothing like an All-Star at midnight to really get the juices flowing. But this is really, I hope, empowers you to get out there and really just take your career into your own hands and just really hit the stages harder than ever. Because this is an example of a comic who has just remained consistent. And when I mean funny, you heard in here, I was feeling good about my set. And then he went up there and I was like, oh, that's what laughter sounds like. But it's all a learning process. It's all just part of the hustle, people. So just stay patient and stay humble and just stay working and stay around other comedians that are doing what you want to do. Like he said, if you want to get booked, hang around with booked comics. My whole goal with Hot Breath is to create a community of inspired comics that want to get better, that are on a mission, that do have goals, that do have objectives, that aren't just in it for the sake of being in it, but, you know, comics that are actually trying to push the envelope and really be the best comedian they can be and not just the, quote, coolest or whatever. So if you want to connect with other listeners, our Facebook group is popping. Go on Facebook, search Hot Breath Comedy Network, and you can connect with me on there. You can connect with various other listeners from all over the world on there. Seriously, we have listeners all the way from Montreal to the UK to, I guess, like Germany was in the analytics. Like, I hear you all and I see you all and I appreciate all of you. So connect with each other. Let's grow together. Let's keep grinding out there. If you have any questions personally, you can email me, joelbyerscomedy@gmail.com, or all social media at joelbyerscomedy, at Hot Breath Pod. I am also going to link in the show notes Drew's first interview he did on here. It was a great insight into life on the road, and he's hit 45 states. And he's also opened up for Rodney Carrington, which he didn't really get into in this one, but in his first interview we do. So it's really he's really just a dope comic with a lot of dope insight. So reach out to him, let him know how dope he is. And feel free to ask him questions. He's one of those comics that just likes helping other comics however he can. So please don't hesitate to reach out to him or me. I'm happy to help however I can or connect you with whatever information you're looking to have answered. You know, last week, our Tie Fi podcast, Hot Sister and Crystal Ramey reached out to me and asked, hey, what advice do you have for being able to connect with an audience? Boom. Now she has her own Tie Fi podcast. So anyone else out there with questions, reach out to me. Here in Atlanta, I started a comedy club, a weekly writing, comedy writing club, where comedians meet up and perform and then get feedback with each other. And it's super dope format. It's a super quick and simple way to actually develop material faster. So I'm thinking about taking it online as well, where we could actually meet up in a group and people can throw out their jokes and then we can punch it up together. So if that's something you're interested in, just let me know. You know, I'm just trying to get a pulse on. Here in Atlanta, I'm building like a more of like a workshop-driven community where I'm helping comedians hands-on, and I really want to do that with all of you that aren't here in Atlanta as well. So if you have any ideas on how or any topics that you would like to explore together, please reach out. I'm learning from you as much as you're learning from this podcast. So let's keep learning together, keep grinding together, and that's really it. I think that was a dope episode. I'm feeling good about it. I'm feeling good about this outro as well. Feeling really good about it. If you haven't seen our website yet, go check it out, hotbreathpodcast.com. And of course, if you're listening to this the week of the release, Nashville, I'm coming your way the 14th and 15th of March. I'm doing shows with Hot Brother and Connor Larson at his dope shows. Let's connect. If you're in Nashville and you want to meet up, let's do it. I'm happy to. So, in the meantime, in between time, keep grinding out there, comics. I appreciate all your support and your commitment to the craft. And, of course, I have to thank my wife, Erin Byers. And finally, I can't believe I almost forgot this. We had a new Patreon patron, Coy Sutley, Hot Brother and Sister, went on the Patreon, contributed $5. That helps keep this podcast humming and moving and keeps it alive, because any of you who have started a podcast, you know it's a full-time job. So the fact that we here at the Hot Breathiverse can churn out weekly episodes and more than one episode a week, it is a full-time job. So if you find it valuable, feel free to contribute over on our Patreon, or our website also has different incentives you can get. Like donor levels where you can get like a mug or a t-shirt, or even have a Hot Breath in your living room is an option. I will travel to you and do a Hot Breath podcast in your living room. So go check out hotbreathpodcast.com and all the ways you can help support us as we continue to grow here. But shout out to Coy. He's been an A1 day one Hot Brethren. Thank you so much for the support, buddy. And also Anwar Osborne contributed a little while ago, and I did not thank him. I want to thank him personally. Both are Atlanta comics. We go out and we see each other in the scene, so it's cool to see the Hot Breathiverse growing. So, sorry I waited till the end of the outro to thank y'all. I should have done it before I even kicked off this episode. But those that are listening this far into the outro, you. Yeah. You're the one. You're the one that keeps us alive. You're the core of this community. So thank you for your time and support. Another way you can support the podcast while supporting yourself is to actually sponsor episodes on here. If you have a festival coming up, if you have a show you want to promote, if you have a service you want to promote, you're a graphic designer, or you do video, or you're a writer, reach out to me, joelbyerscomedy.com. Anything you think comedians could value from, or comedy fans, you know we're hardcore comedy here, but anything you think that they could value from, give it to them. And Hot Breath could be the platform to really get you some new and improved customers. Did you like that pitch? That was me sponsoring my own podcast by doing a sponsored ad of opening up the podcast to sponsors. Long story short, we have a dope listenership that is not only growing every single week, but it is super engaged. So that's all. If you just are into that kind of thing, if you like, you know, finding new clients and things like that, no big deal. And now, thank you to my wife for all your support and love. And let's get out of here. All right. As we always end these, until next Monday, right here on Hot Breath. Hot Breath. This episode of Hot Breath is sponsored by our Patreon. If any of our content has helped your comedy career, join our Patreon linked in the show notes and get positive comedy karma for life. Probably.